morning. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Chris, and I am most often up at the Old Vicarage teaching the little ones. But today I have the privilege of being here and teaching from Nehemiah. And we're going to be talking about radical faith. Now, when we say radical in context to religion, it brings up all sorts of negative connotations. So what is it that we really mean when we're talking about radical faith? Well, I'm sure we could define it in a lot of different ways. But for today, we're going to define radical faith as trusting completely in God, regardless of the outcome. Trusting completely in God, regardless of the outcome. So, for those of us that missed the last 2 weeks, including myself, we're just going to put it in a little bit of context. So, Jerusalem was a beautiful and important city in the times of King David and Solomon. It was a beacon to the nations around Jerusalem to show the glory of God and how he protected his people. But the Israelites were disobedient, and God let them be taken into captivity by the Babylonians, and Jerusalem was destroyed. Now, in the time of Nehemiah, some of the exiles had returned to Jerusalem and joined the remnant that were already there. But still, Jerusalem lay in ruin and shame. And Nehemiah gets a visitor, and he inquires how Jerusalem is, and he's told of the ruin and shame. And it breaks his heart. And God gives him a godly purpose to rebuild the city, to give God glory. And Sadhu spoke last week about having a godly purpose and about prayer. And Nehemiah had prayed for 4 months before he came before the king. So he had a purpose. He'd prepared. God had put him just where he needed to be at just the right time. And he goes in to the king. And the king notices that he's sad, which really is not unusual, I wouldn't think, because he's the cupbearer. His job is to taste the wine before the king. So if he gets ill or dies, the king is not going to drink the wine. So he's going to watch the cupbearer pretty closely to see if he dies. So he's looking at him and he notices that he's not looking good, but he also knows it's nothing physical and correctly decides it must be a heart problem. And here is my favorite verse. I was very much afraid. I love that. It gives me hope and it gives me encouragement. Radical faith is not the absence of fear. Radical faith is trusting completely in God, regardless of the outcome, regardless of your fear. It's stepping out in faith. But it's not being foolish. Nehemiah knew the king. He knew the laws. He knew the rules. And he approached the king respectfully. O king, live forever. Why would I not look sad? Now, you notice he doesn't mention Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a hot spot. Jerusalem was the cause of much battle and argument. And it was King Artaxerxes himself that had stopped the rebuilding of Jerusalem until such time as he said it could be rebuilt. So Nehemiah doesn't talk about Jerusalem. He talks about the city where my fathers are buried, because the king would understand that. He would understand respect for ancestors. So he approaches him in a way that is respectful. And the king says, "What do you want?" At that moment, what does Nehemiah do? He spent 4 months praying. He knows what he wants. But in that moment, it says he prays. Communication with God is vital. He prayed. And then he went on to ask the king. He wanted a leave of absence to rebuild the city in Judah. He wanted a letter of safe passage so he wasn't killed on the way there. And he wanted a letter to the owners of the king's forest to have wood to rebuild the city? And the king said, yes. But the story could have ended very differently. He could have been killed for asking these things of the king. And he knew that, and that's why he was afraid. But he wasn't. And he stepped out anyway. And the Bible is full of examples of radical faith. We look at Esther. Esther's a good Jewish girl who ends up married to a Persian king. God put her there for a reason, for a specific reason. And when the king signed an edict to annihilate the Jews, Mordecai, her uncle, sends a message to her and says, go before the king and plead for your people. And Esther's scared. She said, I haven't been called before the king for months. And if I go without being called, it's against the law and I will die unless he grants me mercy. Esther 4:14. Mordecai says, who knows that you weren't put in this royal palace for such a time as this? She was positioned where she was supposed to be for such a time as this. And she tells Mordecai that her and her servants will pray and fast for 3 days and ask Mordecai to do the same. Again, communication, preparing her heart before God. And in verse 16, she tells Mordecai, I will go before the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Radical faith, trusting completely in God, regardless of the outcome. If I perish, I perish. And actually, she went on to save the Jewish nation. She knew the context, she knew the king. She behaved respectfully, but she was prepared. She had a purpose. She prayed. And she rescued the Jewish nation. And there are so many examples I'm sure you can think of. Daniel ended up in a lion's den for his radical faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Daniel 3:17-18. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are talking to the king and they say, the God who we serve can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will never bow down to your idols. Radical faith. Even if he doesn't. Now, all these stories have one thing in common. They have a happy ending as we would define a happy ending. We like stories that end that way. You do what God tells you to do, and he rescues you. Who doesn't want that ending? But our stories don't all end that way. If we flip forward to the New Testament, to Acts 6, this is the first time we meet Stephen. The apostles are looking for 7 men to do local government of the church. And it tells us they're looking for men that are filled with spirit, the Holy Spirit, and filled with wisdom. Stephen is one of those men. Verse 6 tells us, he was filled with the glory of God and did amazing things and miracles before the people. This made him unpopular with the Jews in the temple, and they sought to argue with him, but they couldn't find any fault. So instead, they stirred up people behind the scenes to say that he had been blaspheming, and he was arrested and taken in front of the Sanhedrin, where he stood trial. Now, at this point, he could have denied what he said. He could have apologized for what he said. He could have said nothing. But he didn't. He taught them. He started from Abraham and went right through to Jesus. He taught them the story of their ancestors. He called them a stiff-necked bunch. He told them that they had the law, but they didn't follow the law. You can imagine it didn't go down well. The Bible says they gnashed their teeth at him. But he didn't stop there. He looks up and he sees God. And he sees Jesus at the right hand of God. And he tells the Sanhedrin what he sees. And that tips him over the edge. They've got their hands over their ears. They drag him out. And they stone him. And as they're stoning him, he says, "Father, accept my spirit. Do not hold this sin against them." He's the first martyr, the first Christian martyr. That story doesn't sound like a happy ending. But it's actually the beginning of someone else's story. In that scene of the stoning, there stands Saul, a young man who is collecting the coats of the people that are stoning Stephen. That's the same Saul that later encounters God. The same Saul that changes his name to Paul. The same Saul that takes the gospel to the Gentiles. The same Saul, the same Paul, who does amazing things for God. The story doesn't end the way we like it, but the story ends with the way God wants it. And Stephen knew what he was doing. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with wisdom. He wasn't foolish. He wasn't stepping out foolishly to say, "Oh, I'm just going to do this." He was doing what God had called him to do. So they're Bible stories. They're true. They're real people. But what about today? What about modern society? Does radical faith still exist? Do we still completely trust God, regardless of the outcome? I want to share a story about Jim Elliot. Modern to some of you, history to others. He was born in the 50s. He was American, and as a child, he felt the call to missions, to Ecuador, to a particular group of Indians, the Orkut tribe. Now, he was a child. God used time to prepare him. And he was 29 before he went to the mission field. That's a lot of prayer and a lot of preparation. He goes to the mission field. He spends a year learning Spanish. He spends another 3 years living with a more friendly Indian tribe. And most of the tribe becomes Christians. And he decides that the time is now right to go to see the Orca Indians. They are a ruthless tribe. And they, the missionaries, know that they have killed every outsider that has ever entered their village. They spend months flying in a plane low over the beaches, lowering gifts to them, speaking words of encouragement and friendship in their language they understood. They did this for months until the Indians started sending up gifts to them. And they decided that this is the time to put their feet on the ground. And 5 missionaries are dropped at the beach. They see 2 of the Orkut ladies coming before them, and they go out to meet them. At that time, the warriors surround them from behind with their spears. Now, Jim Elliot is carrying a gun. But the missionaries have made a pact that they will not kill any of the Indians because they've never heard about Jesus. And the missionaries know that they are in a better position to die than the Indians are. And all 5 missionaries are killed. He was called as a child. He was prepared through his whole life. He had put in the preparation. He had put in the prayer. And he was killed. Did he know that that was a possibility? Yes. But God called him to a specific purpose. And he had radical faith. He stepped out and completely trusted God regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the outcomes. But his story doesn't end there. His wife, Elizabeth, and his daughter, and the sister of one of the other missionaries, less than 2 years later, went back to that same tribe. And the tribe are amazed. They've killed her husband, and yet she comes back to love on them. And you know what happens? In less than 2 years, it is a Christian tribe that is living as a friendly tribe in peace with the missionaries. It's not our happy ending, but it is God's happy ending. And I could go on and on and on about missionaries, about people that step out in faith right now, every day of their lives. But Sadhu will cut me off if I do that. So how does it relate to us? What are we doing? Where does radical faith come into our lives? Well, last week, Sadhu talked about a purpose. What is your purpose? What has God put on your heart? What is he calling you to? Have you prayed? Where you are now is where God wants you to be. God never wastes time. And God never wastes circumstances. If you feel like you have been called, but you feel like you're going nowhere, and you don't know what the next step is, you don't know why you're here, you don't know what's happening next. Bloom where you are planted. God has put you here where you are to learn a lesson for a specific purpose to use you. Your passions are often your callings. So, what are you passionate about? What is God calling you to? Pray. Pray about it. And then, bloom where you're planted until God tells you to move. And then when God tells you to move, move. That's the important part. Radical faith. Step out in faith, completely trust God, even if you don't know what that looks like. Even if you don't know what the next step is. God called me to England 4 years before I left to England. Left to come to England. And he spent those 4 years preparing me. He taught me to run kids ministry and to run youth ministry and to write curriculum. He used those 4 years for a specific purpose and a plan. But when God said it's time to go, I came. Last August, I really felt like God was saying, you're going to be in full-time ministry. No idea what that looked like. But I prayed and I held it loosely. 9 months later, the job at the Family Trust came up. And here I am. Do I think that this is the end of God's plan for me? Do I think that this is where I'm going to be forever? No. At 19, I felt the call to missions. I'm 50 now, and I've done numerous short-term mission trips. I don't know what God is doing with that. I don't know what his plan is. But I know he has a plan. And I don't need to know what the plan is. I need to be faithful where he has planted me right now. And bloom where he's planted me. And learn and pray and prepare. Because I don't know what the next step is. So my challenge to you this week is wherever you are on that spectrum, whether you're in the I have no idea what my calling is, but this is what I'm passionate about. Whether you're at the, I'm praying into what God is calling me to. Whether you're in the, well, I'm not quite sure. I think God called me, but nothing seems to be happening. I want you to work on the bloom where you're planted. Or whether you're at that stage where God is now saying, go, the time is now. It's all part of a process. God has you here for a reason. Radical faith. Trust God, regardless of the outcome. Let's just close in prayer. Dear God, I thank you that you put us where you want us for such a time as this, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, whether we can see it or not. Lord, increase our faith. Make us faithful to step out, trusting completely in you, regardless of what the outcome is. And Lord, we don't always get everything right, but Lord, you have a plan. And I pray that you would give us wisdom, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, we would serve you faithfully, stepping out when you call us to. In Jesus' precious name, amen.